Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, by the grace of God, it is finally starting to get a little warm out there, isn't it? And after a long winter, Minnesotans are starting to get out, and they're starting to enjoy all of the things that spring has to offer. One of those things that I think a lot of people are excited about, yard sales, garage sales. There's garage sales popping up everywhere, down our road, in our town, on the way to work. I'm seeing all of these yard sales and garage sales. They're popping up everywhere. It's that time of year. And as I was driving past one of those yard sales this week, I thought to myself, you know, I wonder if anybody ever finds like really, really good finds at these yard sales. And so I looked it up and I found some absolutely extraordinary things that I'd like to share with you. The first one is this. A New York family stumbled upon a white bull that they liked at a garage sale in 2007. They paid $3 for it. What they didn't know at the time was its rich history. It turned out that the bull originated from China's Northern Song Dynasty. The bull was originally appraised at $300,000, but it was auctioned off for $2.2 million. That's a pretty good find for $3. I love this one. In 1989, a Pennsylvania man purchased an old painting for $4, primarily not because he liked the picture, but because he liked the frame. And when he got home, he was trying to take the painting out from the frame when he noticed that there was a piece of paper behind the painting. It turned out to be an old document, which turned out to be an original copy of the Declaration of Independence. This rare printing from July 1776 later sold at an auction for $2.42 million, making it one of the most profitable yard sale purchases in all of history. One more for you. Now, this one wasn't actually a yard sale find, but one from a local Goodwill store. Sean and Ricky McAvoy browsed through the vintage bargains at Goodwill looking for clothes that then they could resell online. They came upon a vintage West Point sweater and they thought, that's pretty neat, and they bought it for 58 cents. When they got home, the couple noticed a name tag, Lombardi, was stitched into the sweater. The sweater ended up belonging to the NFL Green Bay Packers coaching legend, Vince Lombardi, and it was later sold at an auction in New York for $43,000. I love stories like this. Don't you love hearing stories about people finding out that what they thought was common actually ended up being priceless? And you know, if you look at our lesson that Kelly read just a little bit ago, it's basically that same idea. In Acts 10 and Acts 11, we have Peter, one of the 12 disciples. Now, this was after Jesus died, rose again, and ascended up into heaven. He's up on his roof and he's praying, and all of a sudden, he has this vision from heaven. He sees this sheet come down out of heaven, and it's full of all of these unclean animals that any good God-fearing Jew would never eat. And he hears a voice. He said, "Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.'" Now, I looked that last verse up in a couple of different versions, and in the NKJV, I like how it says this: what God has cleansed, you must not call common. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Now, he wasn't talking about literal animals and what you can and what you cannot eat. That's not what the vision was all about. It was about people. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs and do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them to you. Now, why would God have to give this vision in order for Peter to go with these men? Because these men were not Jews. They were Gentiles. And in the first century, most Jews looked at Gentiles, non-Jews, and thought, they're unclean. They're just common. They're not special like us. God was saying, don't call common what I have made priceless. And so because of this vision, Peter went with these Gentile men. And just a few verses later, it records, while Peter was still speaking these words about Jesus, he was telling them about Jesus. The Holy Spirit came on all of these Gentiles who heard the message. God had taken what they thought was just common, ordinary, unspecial people and done extraordinary things to them and eventually through them. It got me thinking this question this morning. How about you? You're Gentiles. Are you just common? Are you just everyday? Is there nothing special about you? Well, we live in a world where there's a lot of voices, I'm sure, trying to tell you just that. You're not special. In fact, maybe you hear words like this. You're ugly. You're worthless. You're never going to amount to anything. You're dumb. You're plain. Nothing special about you. You're unlovable. Or how about this one? Because of all that you've done in your past, you're damaged goods and God can't use you. There's a lot of voices in the world that are speaking things like this. And the problem is that the more we hear these things, the more it tends to get inside of us. And pretty soon, when you look in the mirror, you say, that person that I'm looking at really isn't that special. I am just common. Well, amidst all of those loud voices, there's another voice that's speaking to you and me. Only this voice isn't loud. This voice, the Bible says, is quiet. It's a quiet, still, small voice. The voice of God, the Holy Spirit. Who does God say that I am and that you are? Well, this is just a little bit of what God says you are. He wants you to believe this amidst all of those voices saying you're common, there's nothing special about you. He wants you to believe this. I am fearfully and wonderfully made by God, for God, and His will for my life. In Isaiah 43, it says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. What does redeem mean? It means that he bought you. God bought you back to himself. Just like going to a yard sale, he went, I want that. I want you. He bought us back and he says, I know your name. And now you're mine. In Psalm 139, it says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before even one of them came to be. When you look in the mirror, you should see somebody who is fearfully and wonderfully made. When God was knitting you together in your mother's womb, he had a plan and a purpose for you and you alone that only somebody that was created just like you could accomplish. And that's why it says every day of your life was written out in his book before even one of your days came to pass. That is far from common. You are special to God. It says in Ephesians 2, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That word handiwork up there is the Greek word poema, which is where we get the word poem. You are God's poem. In other words, you are literally his artwork. He wrote a poem about the beautiful things that he wants to do in your life, about the things that he prepared you to do before you were ever born. Oh, you are far from common. So that's the first thing he wants you to believe. I am fearfully and wonderfully made by God, for God, and his will for my life. Secondly, I am forgiven of absolutely every one of my sins. That's what the Bible says. In Psalm 103, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's a long ways. How did God do that? By sending his son Jesus 2,000 years ago to take all of your and my sins, all of those things that would have separated us from God, he took them off of our shoulders and put them on Jesus' shoulders. And Jesus paid for them once and for all. They're gone. He wants you to believe that. Now, Satan, the loudest voice of all, is always telling you you're damaged goods. God could never use you because of all of the bad things that you have done and said and thought. But God, that still small voice, is saying, because of my son Jesus, I'm not even considering them. Don't believe the lie. Thirdly, God wants you to believe this. I am equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you have been baptized, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And by the way, this is the same Holy Spirit that hovered over the waters of creation. This is the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And now that same Holy Spirit lives in you and me. In Luke 11, Jesus says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, if you put those last two passages together, you may say, well, wait a minute. If I was baptized, I already have the Holy Spirit. Why do I need to ask him for the Holy Spirit if I already have it? Good question. And the answer to that question, I think, can be found in a quote that one of my mentors back in Wisconsin said many years ago. He said it this way, the Holy Spirit is resident in every believer. If you believe in Jesus Christ and have been baptized, the Holy Spirit is resident inside of you. He is living inside of you. But the goal of the Holy Spirit is not just to be resident. He wants to be the president of your life. And so knowing that the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living inside of you, he's a gentleman, and he's not going to take over your life until he's asked. And so what do we say? We say, Lord, if you're living inside of me, I want you to have all of me. That's what the Holy Spirit is waiting for. He's waiting for that conversation with us. Holy Spirit, I don't want you just to be resident there. I want you to be president of my life. And what does it say? God, who loves to give good gifts, always responds with yes to that request. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am forgiven of all of my sins. I have been equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the fourth and last thing we'll talk about here today is this. He wants us to believe this. I am empowered by that Holy Spirit now to be a light to the world and an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That's who you are. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. So let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Now, we live in a very dark time in history. In fact, it just seems to be getting darker and darker. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. As it gets darker and you have a light, that light shines brighter and brighter and brighter the darker it gets. And God is saying this, you are my light. People are going to come into the light of God through you. As you allow the Holy Spirit to just take over your life every day, when you say, Jesus, may your Holy Spirit have all of me today, you're going to shine so bright. God is going to use you in your words and in your actions to be a light for him. On top of that, it says in 2 Corinthians 5, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Think about that. The God of the universe, the one that hung the stars in the sky, says, I want to use your mouth, your words, to speak words for me. That is not common. That is extraordinary, what God wants to do with you and with me. I love this passage from 2 Timothy 2. It says, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some are for, here it is, common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. I was thinking about this. What would this look like in today's world? Well, in the Clark House, we have different kinds of plates and settings. We've got the paper plates, especially during spring and summer. We get out the paper plates anytime we can. But that's just for common use. That's when we're eating on the run, when we're just eating just a simple meal. But every once in a while, we bring out the fancy china. That comes out for special purposes. God is saying, what kind do you want to be used for? Just for common everyday use or for special occasions? What do you want for your life? Because I know what God wants for your life. Not common. He wants to do extraordinary things through you. So what's the difference? Well, it tells us, those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work that he puts in front of you. What are you cleansed from? You're cleansed from doing all of the terrible things that the world is doing, the sinful things. How do you cleanse yourself from that? It starts with your thinking. If you believe the lie that Satan's been telling you that you're just common, you're just normal, there's nothing special about you, God can't do anything special and important with your life. If you believe that, then your actions are going to follow suit. But once you start to actually believe what we've said here today, that you are special, you are fearfully and wonderfully made for him and for his incredible will, you're forgiven of all your sins. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be the light of the world and to be an ambassador for Christ. When you start believing that, then you're not going to settle for just doing all of the sins that the rest of the world is doing, you're going to be like, you know what? That's below me. Why would I get involved in that? God's got super important stuff for me to do. And when you start believing that and living that way, God is saying, you're ready. You're prepared to do any good work that I have for you. You get to be the special china, not the paper blade. God has big plans for you. So whose voice are you listening to? The loud one or the still small one that is speaking truth about your life? So as we finish this message, what's your response? Well, first of all, this, my response is this. I will believe and confess when I look in the mirror at that person in the mirror that God made me for special purposes. I will believe and confess that I am absolutely forgiven of all of my sins. God's not even considering it anymore because of Jesus. And thirdly, I won't settle for common and ordinary life. Lord, set my life apart for God and for the extraordinary. I am who God says I am. His voice and his words determine who I am. And he says I am far greater than common, and so are you. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.